Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight, and I would like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about Think Big Radio. Please be sure to visit our network, www.thinkbiglife.com. That's www.thinkbiglife.com, to find out more about our guests, hosts, and helpful tidbits to take you to your next level. Tonight we have a special guest from Charlotte, North Carolina. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Big.
Great. Before we get started, can you please share with our listeners your contact information?
Okay. I think the best way to reach me is through my email address, which is 3 health, spelled out H-E-A-L-T-H at gmail.com. My website address is 3 health. That's 3H2Health.com. But feel free to send an email, and I'll be happy to respond to your questions.
Great. Okay. So for everybody, I hope you got that, and she will be sharing her information throughout the show. Now, why don't you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grow up at, do you have a large or small family?
Okay, no problem. First of all, thanks so much for having me as a guest on your show, Big. I really appreciate that. I have been living in Charlotte for 20 years, so I guess I can officially say I am a Charlottean. I am originally from Newark, New Jersey, where I grew up with my family. There were 5 of us. I am a twin, a fraternal twin. I have twin brothers and then an older sister. So I guess that was a pretty large family. But I currently have a small family. I have one son, and I've been living in Charlotte with him for the past 20 years.
Wow, so you've been in Charlotte for 20 years. What was the big difference and change from New Jersey to Charlotte?
Wow. it felt like smaller town living when I first moved here. Of course, at that point, I was a new mom. I had a 6-month-old son. And I appreciated the change of smaller town living feeling. Definitely more rural than Newark was. Not as much exposure to places like New York City, but I've enjoyed my stay and claiming Charlotte as my new home now.
Great. Now, I understand that you're also an author among many things.
Yes. Yes, a recent author. I actually released my book in 1209. I had the book release at the Art House in Noda. And the name of my book is Love Letter to My Sisters.
When you first believed that you could accomplish that part of your life mission, what factors came into play? You know, what were you thinking before you wrote this book and all the things that were surrounding you that made you decide to, go on this mission in your life?
I think it was simply that I felt the message needed to be told. I will be honest, the book was really evolved out of seminars or demonstrations that I would give in the community or throughout the community. I would do healthy lifestyle seminars or demonstrations at health fairs, at different churches, at the Y, and realized that I was touching a few people with the information, and I think people would walk away, and they may be excited and respond excitedly to me about the information I shared, and that would be the end. And I realized somehow I need to be touching more people, at least to share the information, and then to have them to decide to take it to another level or to maybe expound on what I've shared. And I decided to put it in writing. And it's been a fun venture, and I know that it will continue to be that and more as I spread the word.
Wow. So this is really a passion to you. When did you first start giving the seminars and workshops? I mean, what happened? Did it just somebody didn't show up and they knew you were an expert and you decided to, or was it something that you just went out for?
It's really a passion. And you know what? It's a lived passion, because I am actually talking about experiences that I have gone through and what I believe could be a success module for someone to follow. I will tell you that I've always kind of been on that quest to reach or achieve optimum health, just by virtue of it feels good when you're not sick or you're not tired. So I've always kind of had that in my spirit, I believe, because I remember when my twin sister and I decided to become lacto-ovo-vegetarians. And, of course, my mother and father were just like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing? So we went on that path, and I've tried, and I've always, you know, read and researched, and I realized it was a passion of mine. So I was always interested for myself and then, of course, sharing with others. And, of course, that evolved to me doing the demonstrations, and I would just do these out of wanting to do them. And then eventually, as I said, the book became something that turned it into sort of an official business, so to speak.
Wow. So when you went through all those things, did you partner with anyone to make that happen, as far as with the workshops or the writing of your book, or was it just something that was just really your seed and you took it from, you know, the beginning to where we are now?
Okay, well, I truly believe that nothing is done alone. You know, it's not done in a vacuum. So there's so many people who have probably inspired and deposited information into me via, you know, personal connection or research or reading or just you know, arbitrarily
wow.
meeting somebody and getting words of wisdom from someone. But this is something that, based on some of the experiences that I've had, that it was something that I approached from without a partner. Now, I will tell you that I did work with a sister friend of mine as a mastermind partner, and we kind of helped each other to work through the process of writing the book, kind of just being cheerleaders for each other. So from that standpoint, working, you know, with someone through that process, I remember when I decided that we're really going to go ahead and send it in to be published. So that was an exciting venture that I did with this particular mastermind sister friend of mine.
Wow, and that's really a big thinking answer, because we truly realize as big thinkers and networkers that truly that one person just does not stand alone on an island, and that it takes many people over the course of years to, you know, reach a level of success that you're reaching.
Yeah.
And course going toward.
Yes.
Now, so what factors also came into play when you first believed that you could accomplish this part of your life mission? I mean, you had a person that you were with, a mastermind group with. Mm-hmm. She sat down with you and you guys was like, you know what, I think that I can do this. I'm really tired of talking it all the time. Let me just, you know, put it in paperback for those who I can't reach. What other factors came into play?
Okay, I think my walk, again, the health challenge that I experienced probably fueled it. I also had have a wonderful sister friend who has a publishing company,
mm-hmm.
and I would kind of be in her midst and experience. They would have the writers' conference every year, where they would highlight and award authors for their work, particularly work that was empowering to our community. And just kind of being immersed in that environment probably helped me to probably feel as if it was a natural something to do. I'll be honest with you, you know, that was a form of probably mentoring that was occurring that may not have seemed like a formal thing to help me to do what I was going to do, but it really was. Just helping to plant those seeds to make you think that it's not something that's impossible.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I noticed was that you also had some big help along the way with the person who had their, you know, own publishing company, and I'm sure that, you know, you learned a lot through them. And, you know, the first time that we go around doing anything, it's always a learning process, a learning experience.
Yes.
And did you have any main challenges?
What was your
biggest challenge?
Your first venture, I would say, even with your passion, I'm sure the finance question is something that a new would actually question to figure out, how am I going to make this work? How am I going to put my dream into, you know, and it takes money to do so. So just kind of thinking those together and helping those numbers to come together probably was a challenge. I'm not going to say it's the biggest challenge, but it was because without money, it's hard to do it. I mean, you're printing the books. You have to have the supply. I also have a motivational CD that can go, and you have to print CDs. You have to put the music on the CD. So I just have wonderful friends and family members that just have been there for me to just kind of be supportive, knowing that I wanted to kind of put this out in the marketplace.
Well, that's good for you to be able to have that type of support. So to overcome this particular challenge, we'll say that it was your support group that really assisted you.
Absolutely.
You know, so many times we'll have not particularly guests, but listeners that call in or send us emails, and they always mention, you know, they don't have the money, they don't have the money. And it's almost as if people revolve their ideas around money, like if they can't get a certain amount, they can't do anything. But, you know, here you just explained it so well in a lot of your answers as far as, you know, the support group, as far as family and friends, which you can always find somebody to support your dreams if, you know, you're, you know, smart about them and, you know, detailing them and letting people know exactly how you want to do things. And then even, you know, earlier with the factors that came into play for you to accomplish your life mission. You know, I'd like to also say I'm glad to have you on the show. And though I don't know you well, you know, I've tried to follow your work and, you know, notice the type of person that you were. What would be the biggest advice and or quality that you could share with our audience that helped you the most?
From advice, you know, I think the biggest piece is you really, really have to figure out or realize what your passion is. And if you decide to turn that passion into a business venture, you really be clear that as much as you may want to do it alone, even if you have the finances, that it's going to take so many different types of minds to help you to put it into place. For instance, I have sometimes a technology challenges. Making a CD to someone may be something very, very simple. You know, you have to get the person
wow.
to have the voice. You have to, you know, kind of soften it up with maybe music input. So I had someone who mixed my CD, who added some of his original kind of music, a little piece of music in the CD. Again, I think it's kind of being clear that if you're going to turn that passion into a business, that you're going to, no matter how much you have in your head, there are different types of minds that you will probably need to assist you in completing in that venture successfully, I believe. So even if I did not have the technology challenge, I'm sure that in one area, there was another area that I may have kind of come up as an obstacle to, that I would have had to depend on somebody else's expertise. So again, just having the people in your space. In my case, I am truly blessed.
You almost said was. Past tense, present tense.
No, I guess because I'm thinking about the book that has been done and the CD has been done, but no, they are actually in my space now and continue to try to help me to kind of take all of what I'm trying to do to the next level. So, again, following your passion and then knowing that integrity is important in, as you develop that passion, and mentoring is truly important. There's always going to be someone that knows more than you. So connecting with people who can help you to kind of make that vision even grander, and that you're also giving to them. So it's reciprocity that has to exist. It's just not you taking or you receiving. It's you know, you also giving, so that we all are helping each other out to kind of master and create our dreams into realities.
Reciprocity. I like that word. I like that you choose that word in describing the mentor-mentee relationship.
Yes. We all have something to give, so kind of like the giving and the taking happens in any kind of relationship, and hopefully it's balanced at least 80% of the time.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Before we go any further, can you please get out your contact information again?
I sure will. Again, as I said, I think the best way to reach me is by sending me an email, and my email address is the number 3, so that's 3health@gmail.com. The number 3, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, at gmail.com. My website address is 3h2health.com. That's 3h2health.com. My business name is Heather's Health Hypotheses, so hence the 3h, 3h2health.com. And again, the name of my book is Love Letter to My Sisters. And in the book, I basically offer African-American sisters options or a challenge to improve the health paradigm in our community. Again, the health steps and the challenge that I offer can help anyone, but I'm actually addressing some of the statistics that unfortunately are not so positive in the African-American community.
Now, what would you say the time frame involved in a big idea to its completion would normally take? What was your time frame like?
It's really hard to put a time frame on it because it has been evolving for a while. I think I told you I started doing the demonstration seminars in 2000. So I would say it's a compilation of all of that, all of those experiences. The book itself, I would think, I think it was a 6-month process from starting to completing. And that's putting a guesstimate on the time of the book. But again, it was an involvement out of the demonstrations and the seminars that I do, the healthy lifestyle seminars that I put on.
Okay, it looks like we have a listener in from the 404 area code.
Okay.
Listener from the 404 area code, I'm going to put them on in a second. Sometimes they would just like to listen in, while other times they may have a question. So I'm going to put this listener on, 404-626. Are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Okay, would you, did you have a question for our listener, I mean for our guest, or did you have something to that you wanted to add or say?
I just wanted to say that, you know, I appreciate you offering the advice that you've given on the mentor-mentee relationship. What advice would you give to someone that is attempting to find a mentor that can help with their business?
Wow. I would say depending on what your business type is or what the passion is, make sure that you're in those environments very often. For instance, I really love health, so very often I was going to health seminars. maybe taking health classes, of course, visiting websites. So I think if you infuse yourself in those environments, the probability of you meeting someone that may be resonating in what you're trying to do will be higher. Sometimes people can be directly in your space and you haven't thought about them. For instance, a person who did my voice on my CD, I forgot, but that is her specialty. I didn't even go to her to ask her initially to do my CD. She was right in my space. So again, you know, a friend of mine, and that was something that she did as an occupation, as a side occupation. So again, you need to communicate, basically be open and talk to people, meet people. You never know who is going to come in your path that will be of assistance to you, even if that person is already not in your path.
Guess, did that answer your question?
Yes, that was some really good advice. I'll definitely put that to use. I appreciate that. Because I've been experiencing difficulties, but I guess I wasn't putting myself in the right circle. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Heather, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all of the different networking sites out like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace, I've heard you say a couple of times that these people would be in your space. So just, you said MySpace, so I'd just like for you to elaborate on that because some of our listeners may think that you're on MySpace, which is a listening advice.
When I say space, I'm actually meaning like in my world, in other words, we connect, we talk, we see each other, we talk on the phone, we vibe, we share ups and downs with, we help each other to grow. So people who I relate to, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And it may not be every day, but people who I talk to when I say in my space, that's what I mean.
Okay.
And I forgot that's a reflection of technology kind of a gap there. But no, not my – I'm actually not on MySpace. I am on Facebook. You can find us on Love Letter to My Sisters and, again, under Heather Lee.
Okay. And can you spell that slowly for our listeners?
My name?
Yes.
Is Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, and the last name is Lee, L-E-E, and Love Letter to My Sisters is the name of my book.
Okay, great. So hopefully our Facebook listeners will be able to reach you there.
Yes, that's another way to reach me also.
Now, even though some of the entrepreneurs that we have on our show, they may have their own business or they may work somewhere part-time. Do you think it's a good idea for a person to have their own business or do you think that, you know, it's not okay? I mean, what are your views on that?
I think it really is a personal decision, and I believe that the economy is helping folk to think about the true benefits of having some type of business venture in addition to working a regular job. I would never knock it for someone to try and develop their own business. I would truly say that sometimes I think people think that it can be easier than a job, but I think that sometimes it can be even more difficult, particularly when you're starting, building that infrastructure.
Okay.
So that's why I think it's important to use your passion as you think about generating a business. For my personality type, I couldn't have just said, oh, I just want to start selling widgets and I think I'm going to make a lot of money doing it. What's
okay.
fueling me is I think that this is information that I believe needs to be shared, and so I decided to do that, and thus the business. So I think if you love doing it, you're going to do it even when the money is not necessarily coming in.
Great, great. I really appreciate that answer, and think about all of the different answers that we have received, because, you know, as our listeners know, we do have standard questions that we try to ask through the interview. And it's definitely a personal choice, you know, it's and personality types, just like you said. It's not for everyone.
Yes.
Now, what steps have you been taking to build your brand or creative marketing techniques have you tried?
And, you know, that is always evolving. Basically connecting, of course, the social media is something that we can't neglect nowadays. Basically, has to be a part of your marketing and basically exposing people to your product. I'm also going to be at the Charlotte Literary Festival, which is coming up on September 10th and 11th.
Okay.
That venue will be a fun, interactive venue. This year, they are coordinating the literary festival to have a neo-soul music venue. So that's going to be a wonderful venue for people to come out and kind of talk to various authors and purchase books from various authors and get some seminars and music and just a nice, I believe it's going to be a wonderful vibe in Charlotte. And that's September 10th and 11th.
And what type of industries were you involved in before you decided to really take on this passion more headstrong than anything?
You know, they may not have been related, to be honest. I was educated at Hampton Institute, well, now Hampton University, as a music major. I love music. I've been in the financial service arena for probably over 20 years. In the area of mortgage financing and securities, insurance. So it's not directly related. So this really is something that I've just kind of taken on myself. I don't have any kind of degrees in medicine or nutrition. You will see in this letter that I've written to sisters, it is very much based on research and experience, and I promise you, you will feel that you walk away with some serious aha moments that I believe can be life-changing.
All right, and you know what? It's one of the key things that you mentioned there is that your passion, and I find this with a lot of people, their passion is a lot different from their business.
Mm.
And it's not until they really start living their passion that they really feel more happier with themselves.
Wow. Yes, because you're being true to yourself.
And, you know, and then that's a good thing also for our listeners to know that not only, you know, are you covering health and you're also living a healthier lifestyle and you're doing, you know, seminars dealing with health, that you may also be able to, you know, give them some type of advice when it comes to, you know, their finances and things of that sort.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt because, you know, very often – sometimes people will say, well, I can't afford to buy this. It's more expensive to eat healthier. It's more expensive to do this. So, of course, I'm sure my financial background kind of comes into play with some of my answers or responses to those kinds of statements.
Now, this is just so much that I want to ask you that I'm just so unfamiliar with, you know, this particular topic. What types of... Would you be able to maybe share a paragraph or an excerpt from your book this evening?
I'd be happy to do that. Did you have any particular question that you'd like me to address in reference to that, sharing it? Because, I mean, I can literally start right from the beginning. But
well,
I can
how,
also...
How about the best thing I'd like to do is just take a book and just open it up. I mean, when you open it up, wherever your right thumb is, just start reading that paragraph, you know.
Wow, okay. Wow, interesting.
Because sometimes that may be the message that, you know, a specific listener or that I need or that you need, you know, just by kind of randomly, you know, popping something open.
Okay. This is funny because I opened up. I actually ended up being on page 15, and my eyes went to the second paragraph. It said, God has allowed our body temples to be vessels to be present on this earth to fulfill and share with his people our gifts. If we do not address the needs of our body, it will be difficult to execute and share our gifts. You know it is difficult to be kind and loving to your mate. if you are experiencing a migraine. Assisting your children with their homework would not be at the top of your list if your head is throbbing. And I'll just stop right there.
Wow.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that turned.
That is good.
Yeah.
And that is a great message. I've been on my own personal health crusade starting this month. I started, you know, exercising, getting back in shape, because I know that the things that, you know, I want to take care of and make happen next year, I definitely have to be in shape for. So that's one of the things. And I don't think I could have picked a better verse right there.
Wow. And I will tell you, Big, this book really is good for men, too. Again, I addressed it to women because, first of all, I'm an African-American woman, and also because I realized that our health statistics were the worst. If you compare us to any population, African-American women had the worst health statistics, and they're not improving. And I said, oh, my goodness, we have to change this train, because we are the caretakers of the community. Women typically are the caretakers of the community, even more so with African-American women. So I said, we need to re-educate and rethink what we're doing and then pass it on to our children so that generations to come will not continue in this mode of being sick. We have to be sick of being sick and tired, period.
And how long has it been since you've been a vegetarian?
Now, and I will tell you that I am not a full-fledged vegetarian, but if you tell me, if you ask me what kind of eater, I will tell you I'm a conscious eater. And what I mean by that is that I truly believe that you need to be striving to eat more live foods for our live bodies. And what that really addresses is I talk about how we eat foods that are probably dead in terms of the life force of the foods that we're eating. When I say that, when you cook something and you cook it over 120 degrees, most of the enzymes or the vitamins and minerals become dissipated.
Right.
And one of the things I'm trying to kind of promote is, even if you're not a vegan, and I do think the vegan lifestyle can be a wonderful lifestyle, what I tell people to do is strive to having more of a vegan lifestyle, even if you are not a vegan. Be conscious of what you're eating. When you're sitting down on your plate, look at what's on your plate and look at what degree of the food on that plate is live, just as you are. And in my seminars, I kind of talk about it, make it a little more fun, and kind of help you to really experience that. But generally, that's one of the components of better eating that I talk about in the book.
Right, I can agree with you, live foods. I remember there was a while back years ago when I was a vegetarian, and then I got to the point where, you know, I didn't eat anything that came from animals, no milk, no eggs, you know, and I ate more live foods. And it almost seems as if when you get to that point, your body is working less on digesting all of
Absolutely.
These foods. And more on, you know, other things that benefit you. For instance, earlier after we did the announcement, I was going to ask you something. And before I could ask you, you just came right out, you know, as if you were a mind reader and just answered the question. And I know that, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And, you know, eating right is one way that he can work a little bit more.
The channels are clearer for you to receive the information and to respond accordingly.
Once again, you're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Can you please share again your contact information?
I sure will. You can go to our website, which is 3htohealth.com. That's the number 3, the letter H, T-O, health.com. You can best reach me by my email address, which is 3, the number 3 again, health@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, great. Now, Can you name any specific books, mentors, or training resources that you could suggest to our listeners that have that helped you to move to your next level? We may have a lot of people out there now who are, you know, in this field who will be listening to the show or who will listen to the archived version.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of books, I would suggest Dr. Muwatta Ashby. He has a book that I also referenced in my book called The Kemetic Diet, and that will help you to get a base of information. There's so many different books and websites to address. It's just, it's amazing. There is a book that I think was just instrumental in really clarifying the importance of drinking water, your body's many cries for water. That book is by, his last name is Mangaldej. All I will tell you is if you ask for your body's many cries for water, they will point you in the right direction if you're going to the library or to a bookstore for that book. Of course, The China Study by Campbell is a wonderful book to kind of help to help you to understand the foods that we're ingesting. There are just many books that kind of help to put my thought process in place in order to put it in writing. Again, you have so many different sites that you can reference. And I just kind of used all the different pieces, and some of these books are very large books, some of them not so, but what I wanted to do is to compile all of my lessons and my research in a simplistic way that will cause you to sit down and read the letter book. Because I had somebody to respond, oh, my goodness, it was just a wonderful read. In a short period of time, in an hour's time, I was able to take the knowledge and increase what I have been doing for my body. And
wow.
Yeah, I really can say that with the surety that you will feel like there is, as it's simplistic, and as I say in the book, you actually know a lot of this information, but I call it to your remembrance, and it's how I deliver it to you that allows you to say, wow, I need to act on this because this can make a difference in my life.
You know, one of the things that I got out of that especially was that you studied. And so many people think that they can just get by without studying, without learning. I was listening to an interview earlier that mm-hmm. we had on our show, and the gentleman mentioned that one of the first things that he started doing was getting up early.
Mm-hmm.
It was that simple, because he had studied a lot of different people, and
mm-hmm.
one thing that they all had in common was that they burned the midnight oil and they got up early so that they could
mm-hmm.
be ahead of the game. And clearly, you know, this is one of the methods that I could see that you've been using.
Yeah, you're getting it from so many resources, you know, because no one knows it all. But, you know, you can get a piece of knowledge from this person, from that person, from this website, from this book, and you have your own spin on it. You have your own gift to kind of deliver to all of that knowledge or compilation of that knowledge. And that's essentially what I believe I've done, and hopefully people will feel that when they read the book also.
Now, is there anything you can share with us and our listeners that, you know, the average person doesn't know about you?
That they don't know about me? Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, we have, all of us have our little things, you know, like art or poetry or taking short walks on the beach.
I do love I did go to school for music, and I love music, and I love to sing. I can sing operatic types of songs, if you will.
Oh, wow.
I love all kinds of music. I saw Michael Franti this week in Charlotte, and that was just glorious. So I love all kinds of music. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. So your thing to share is music.
That's, well, that's something that people may not know, that I was a music teacher for a couple of years, actually, in New Jersey, in the state of New Jersey. I had the choirs in New Jersey at Plainfield High School.
And I do recall you saying that your CD, it also has light music in the background.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just as a part of the mixing, the brother actually kind of put a little bit of his own music in it just to kind of smooth out the motivational sounds of the challenges that I'm offering sisters. What the motivational CD actually goes over the 7 steps. I have a 7-day, 7-step challenge that will create a new you. And so this CD kind of reminds you of those 7 days, 7 steps, 7 days. So that you can be in the Automobile School of Learning reminding yourself about what the book actually told you.
Okay, so that also coincides with the book.
Right, right. No, it's not a music CD at all. It just has, I was just saying it had a little music in it. And I was kind of sharing that it took all types of minds to kind of put the project into completion.
Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties. We had a couple of extra callers that have come on, but I can't get them over. And that might be the special little ding sound that you're hearing in the background.
Okay.
And so I'm going to have to, it's not even letting me log out of the computer so that I can log back on. So just to let you know, we do have a couple of more listeners on the line, and they'll be able to follow the interview.
Very good. And they can also send me an email with their questions. I'd be happy to respond to them.
Okay. Now, do you have any exercise routines in your book, or tell us a little bit more about your book.
Okay. Yes, I talk about the importance of the steps that you should take to have a healthy body, mind, and spirit. And I share in the book what I use as my forms of movement or exercise. I talk about rebounding. And
rebounding?
Yes, rebounding. I use what's called a rebounder. And just for your listeners, it is simply a mini trampoline. It looks like a mini trampoline, but it allows you to get the most efficient type of exercise by just bouncing on it. So I use that, and I know that it's health-giving in addition to helping me to kind of increase my heart rate, you know, the aerobic offerings that it gives you. I also mentioned hot yoga. And what I was
Did you say hot yoga?
Hot yoga, yes. It is an experience. And I throw that out to sisters to say, try something new. But if it does not resonate with you, do something in the form of movement, because it has to be something that makes you want to come back to it. It can't feel like it's drudgery when you're working out or when you're exercising.
Okay, right.
So you have to do what resonates with you. I talk about if you need to just dance for 20 minutes, put your favorite music on and do that, because that will get your heart moving, your heart rate up. The issue is you need to move your body. You need to add to the movement that God allows us to have automatically. You need to kind of add to that movement. And so I talk about that. There actually is a chapter on movement. But again, I tell you, choose what you will continue to do. If it means walking, just start walking and then maybe increase your walking so it becomes race walking as opposed to just slowly, leisurely walking.
Right.
Because you want that heart rate up. If it's dancing, absolutely. Dance. Dance if it's that. A wonderful form of exercise. So you have to figure out what it is, but you have to do it. Because if not, a sedentary body will lead and give fuel illness. It will fuel illness.
Wow.
Period. It will fuel illness. If you're not moving your body.
Well, that's something for a lot of people to think about. I know a lot of people, they have jobs now where they sit around all day or sit around all night. You know, they're not out in the streets and things like that.
You're going to have to make a conscious effort to add to the movement of your body, because if not, the potential of you having illness seek residence in your body becomes higher. It just does.
A couple of other points that I like to bring up also is that, you know, your use of the word conscious. It's like you're telling our listeners that, you know, everything is a choice. You have to be conscious of what you're doing. And there's so many times when you're just so into exactly what's going on every day, it's almost as if you're asleep again, even though you're awake.
Yes. Yeah, we can get robotic, kind of just, you know, you're on autopilot. Not good, though, but it's very easy for that to happen. So we have to reawaken ourselves, so. It's funny because I think of my book as being a little mustard seed of that awakening, kind of planting the seed to have you to kind of take it to the next level, take it to the next step.
Wow. That is just so much to think about, you know, that I can't even really get out, you know, too many of the questions that I may want to ask. And I'm so glad that, you know, you did become a member of our network, and that way in the, you know, future we can, you know, contact you, send you a little message for, you know, a tip here, tip there. At this point, we're pretty much winding down our show. Is there anyone that you would like to thank?
Well, I would like to thank you, Big, for giving me the opportunity to share with your listeners. I really appreciate that opportunity, really. And I always want to thank God for giving me the vision and the spirit, and also the people that he's placed in my life to help the vision to be manifested. I'm always thankful for that. I mean, I can go on and name all the specific names, but there's so many people who play a major role, even though they don't think it's major. It really is.
Wow.
So family and friends and listeners and people who support me, who purchase my book and listen to the message, I just sincerely say thank you.
And we would love for you to get your contact information out one more time.
Okay, 3health@gmail.com. That's the number 3, health, health@gmail.com is my email address. My website address is 3h2health.com. That's the number 3, the letter H, T-O-H-E-A-L-T-H, 3h2health.com. And I, as I said, we'll also be at the Literary Festival on the 10th and the 11th.
All right, great. Yeah. You have now just listened to Heather Lee out of Charlotte, North Carolina on Think Big Thursdays. That's right, folks, Think Big Thursdays, Heather Lee, Charlotte, North Carolina. We're glad that you can join us. And, of course, for those of you who wasn't able to ask any questions on our live show, all of our shows are archived. You can visit www.thinkbigradio.com. Click on Heather Lee's picture, and it will take you right to the show. Or you can also visit and join our network where all of our big thinkers normally come to teach and learn at www.thinkbiglife.com. We're going to end our interview playing a song from Sade, The Sweetest Taboo. I hope you all can enjoy it. And once again, make sure you always tune in to www.thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Alrighty, all right.
You're listening to BenBigRadio.com.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.